Welcome to the Paul Revere Show, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. It is August 15th, another beautiful summer night. We are 85 days away from the November 8th, 2022 elections. As I said, this is Mark Thompson. This is Devil's Radio. This is The Shaw. This is WAUK 540 AM, 92.7 FM. And I am here tonight, honored to have Luann Bird, who is a brave citizen that has thrown her hat in the ring to run for the Wisconsin Assembly 84th District. Welcome to the show, Luann.
Well, thank you for having me on, and thank you to your listeners for listening.
So what I'd like to do, Luann, we got some quality time tonight. The 84th District has been sort of redesigned, redistricted, right? I think it's like, you're from Hales Corners, right?
Yes, I am.
And you've been there for what, over a decade?
About 10 years. Yep.
And Greenfield and part of Greendale is in this district, right?
Yes, yes. And then a slice of Milwaukee.
And a slice of my city, Milwaukee.
Yes.
So we are still, this is purple. Wisconsin is a purple state. And what I'd like to do is just talk a little bit about you and let our listeners know who is Luann Bird. And before we get into sort of some of the substance of this. So I learned from talking to you earlier that you were born in Oakfield up by Fond du Lac. And spent a lot of time in Oshkosh, right?
Right. Not exactly born in Oakfield, but I would say that's where I spent the majority of my youth growing up.
There you
yes.
go.
And then I married Mr. Wright, my soulmate, Phil, and he lived in Oshkosh. So then we were there for 25 years.
So the Oshkosh, my uncle worked at Oshkosh Truck. My mother was born in Eureka, just a little west of Oshkosh. So what is this? What did you learn about growing up in the Oshkosh area that sort of creates the background of Luann who decides to run for public service?
Well, my upbringing wasn't the happiest. My childhood wasn't the greatest, really. But I do think that it was, you know, my mom was divorced twice. There was some domestic violence, and it just wasn't an easy time. Fortunately, my grandfather was there for us and could take us in when we needed him. And then eventually we, you know, landed on our own. But I think through that, I developed a sense of compassion for people. And I think that, and then living in Oshkosh, raising our kids in Oshkosh was also critical to, that's a wonderful community. They had a great upbringing there, but it was very influential as I got involved in the community, the people that I met there. But the biggest thing that happened was when my husband, you know, we had been living there, married about 5 years, and then my husband had a construction accident and was paralyzed permanently from the waist down. And I knew from that very moment that he was not going to walk again. So you combine that base of compassion that I had and my sense of values that everyone matters, and then that accident, it sort of catapulted me into figuring out how to make things work and figuring out how to get schools accessible, how to make the world better so that we could continue to participate the way we did before his accident.
So it sounds like, and I think you were telling me earlier, that Phil's accident happened right about the same time that the ADA got passed into law.
Yes. It was July 18th, And he was in the hospital. He was still in intensive care. And on July 26th, I was in the waiting room talking to some people, and I just happened to look over at the TV and saw George H. Bush signing the Americans with Disabilities Act into law. And I knew that would affect us. I just had no idea what was coming. I had no idea. So I am grateful for that, let me tell you.
So tell me it and share with the audience, listeners, hopefully those folks that'll get out there and vote for you. How did this experience with Phil and this new life impact your thinking?
Well, I had to learn how to make things work. Phil was in the hospital for 2 months, a little over 2 months. He gets out of the hospital and our daughter had just started kindergarten, and they had their first event at school, and we were upstairs on the playground and everyone else was downstairs participating in the event. And something, I just knew something wasn't right. Well, I thought I could go to the secretary and tell her about this problem and they would just put an elevator in and fix it, right? Well, 5 years later, I'm on the school board. They never did fix that school, but we figured out other ways because they had just put the caps on the budget in the schools. And so that meant that we had to get creative about how to make that work. And we ended up moving some of the programs into the high school because we couldn't hold them in a place. At least they agreed to that in the school. We couldn't hold them in a place that wasn't accessible. And that was really a reasonable approach. And that is really what the ADA is all about. So it shaped me in that I had to learn to compromise. I had to learn to be patient, and I had to learn to never give up. I had to learn to take action because really, really, Mark, for the first couple of years, I was pretty depressed and facing all these challenges and not knowing what to do about it. And then I finally realized that, okay, the ADA law is there for us. So it's not a matter of do they have to make it accessible. When the question in my mind changed to how can they make it accessible, that's when I started to really take action. And that's when it made all the difference for me. And then I wasn't depressed. It's like every time you take action, you feel better about something, right? So
how did you, you mentioned school board. Mm-hmm. What got you involved in the school board?
Well, so I started my advocacy work. I did a survey of the school district, and there were 22 schools in Oshkosh at that time. And I called around because I thought, if I'm having trouble here and my kids go to middle school and high school, what's that going to be like, right? And plus, you participate in events at other schools. So I started calling around. I had a little grid, and I knew exactly which schools you couldn't even get a wheelchair into, and some of them were polling places, right? Which ones didn't have good parking spots. And, you know, I think I had like three criteria that I looked at when I made those phone calls. And so here I had this grid, and I was working with the school, my principal, and then it was getting up to the superintendent level. And during that time, there was a school board member let me back up a little bit. First, there was an election, a school board election. And I went to every single candidate and I said, how do you feel about upgrading our schools to ADA? And they all said, oh yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So I did that first. And then following year, there's another election. And then there was a school board member, they were talking about adding staff for kids with disabilities. And a school board member said, I don't support this because those kids can't learn anything anyway. I mean, that's a growth moment for me. I mean, my heart sunk. I figured, how are we ever going to get access for grownups if he doesn't even care about kids? And that catapulted me into more action. And then I started to look for, he was up for re-election. I started to look for someone to run against him because I didn't think I could ever do that. By the way, I had no degree. I couldn't type when Phil was paralyzed. And by this time I had at least taken a typing class, right? And figured that out. So I started to look for someone else to run because I didn't think I could. Well, then I finally couldn't find anyone. I decided, okay, I'm just going to put my husband and I out there in the community, because there was quite an uproar over that comment, up against this Dennis McHugh who didn't care about kids with disabilities, and let the community decide. That's what I decided. And at the last minute, he didn't run. So it was an open seat and I got elected. And then within a year and a half, we had passed a referendum that upgraded most of the schools. And then in another year and a half, 2 years, we passed a second referendum that sort of finished it. And I remember the superintendent saying to me at one point, we don't need an elevator at the middle school where my kids were going to go, because that would be a waste of resources. That's what he said to me. But we got it done anyway. We got it to the community, and the community agreed that we needed this. So it worked. It worked out.
You'd mentioned that you started out, you didn't have a degree. You do have degrees now, right?
I do. Yes. So, I went back to school. The first degree I got was a degree in quality management from Fox Valley Technical College, because I was very interested in data and quality. And, you know, we were on the school board and we were looking at data all the time. And I wanted to know more about that. And it really was a great start for me. But I really needed a bachelor's. So then I ended up going to Alverno College here in Milwaukee. I remember I found out about it. First of all, it has no grades, which is great because I'm not the best test taker. It's an ability-based curriculum. And all I knew was it looked like it would be great for me. And they had a weekend program that was every other week. So I went and talked to them and I thought, this is going to be great. I come home and I tell my husband and my kids, I'm like, okay, guys, how would you feel? We got to take a break. How would you feel? Okay.
We'll should be we finish right this? Back with we'll Lou Ann Bird on happened. The other side.
All right.
Going to talk, continue this journey, folks. This is Paul Revere Show, attorney Mark Thompson with Lou Ann Bird, talking about democracy in Wisconsin. We will be right back, folks. Welcome back, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is Paul Revere Show. We are here this evening with Lou Ann Bird, and she's sharing her life journey to her race for the 84th Assembly, Wisconsin Assembly District. And we were just talking about your time at Alverno and getting your degree. So,
great.
What was it about the Alverno degree that really helped kick you on?
Well, it's an ability-based curriculum that helps you identify and articulate values. It just made me an even stronger leader, I would say. It was kind of interesting. I was school board president at the time and going back to college. But it's a wonderful college. The opportunity to go every other weekend made it easy for my family. Because then my husband had to watch the kids. They were like teenagers at the time. But that's what we did to make it work. And then I was able to, a little later on in my life, because of my husband's paralyzed, his veteran status. By the way, he was in Vietnam and made it through that and then was paralyzed, you know, afterwards. But I could go to, I got my master's degree then in Oshkosh, at UW Oshkosh, in public administration, which was the perfect fit for me. I had a lot of interest in the whole public arena by then and had really worked on some issues, including sanitary districts. We needed, when I was living in Oshkosh, actually prior to being on the school board, we had some failing septic tanks and holding tanks in my neighborhood. And one of the neighbors was working to develop a sanitary district so that we could hook onto the city of Oshkosh. And I ended up getting on the commission and helping spearhead that whole project so that we could save our environment. It was really important. So then I finished my degrees and I was very fortunate to be able to do that. I had to become the caregiver. It turned out Phil had a lot of pain. He still does. And that's what kept him down. Otherwise, he probably would have gone back to work.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear persistence has paid off for you here. And
yes,
you did it. Also share with me, though, that you also worked with the poverty agency for a period of time that really also gave you insights that you didn't have before.
It did. My first job out of college was executive director of the League of Women Voters, and I was the lobbyist. So that was a great experience, seeing how it really works in Madison. It was quite eye-opening. And by the way, I joined the League of Women Voters 30 years ago after Phil was paralyzed, and that's how I learned to take action. That's how I learned to advocate on his behalf, along with other things, lots of other things, including voting rights and registering voters and moderating forums and a lot of that kind of thing. That was my first job, and I was in Madison as a lobbyist, and I thought I could do a better job than my representative, who was a 12-year incumbent and really hadn't even introduced a bill. So I quit that job, ran for public office. Was a great experience. It was during John Kerry when he was running for president, and I lost, but it was a great experience. I talked to a lot of people and met a lot of people and lost. But anyway, so then my next job after that was I was hired by a poverty agency, Advocap. It's a community action agency. And that's when I started to understand poverty. And I wished I knew more about that when I was on the school board and the challenges those families face. Because I got to know some of them. You know, if I was going to be a fundraiser, I wanted to meet them. So I had pizza in the park with a couple of moms that were really seriously, you know, struggling in life. And it was quite eye-opening, yes. I also learned how we can get people out of poverty, which is cool. You know, provide them jobs and skills. If we would support that kind of thing, we can get more people out of poverty.
So then your life journey took you to Alabama for a few years.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I went to the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, worked on a multi-state project, both in Alabama and in Wisconsin, that was looking at research on what school boards could do to impact student achievement. And it elevated my beliefs about what's possible for kids. And again, I wish I'd known more about that when I was on the school board. But then I was doing consulting in Wisconsin, and then I got hired in Alabama to be their director of board development. And that's when I really learned about racism. And then I was in Leadership Montgomery, because it was right in Montgomery, and I was working with school boards all over the state. And the very first board I went to described their problem like this. They said, so-and-so on our board who is Black won't support any of the superintendent's recommendations, who's white. And I said, do you think you have a racism problem on your board? And he goes, well, yeah. Now, I didn't think I could do anything about that. And so I just went in and focused on kids, which is what I do. And actually, that works just fine. You know, the kids, everyone cares. Everyone wants kids to succeed. So that was my first real introduction to how, to the challenges we face around race. Then I did a Leadership Montgomery program where every month you get to focus on a different issue. And I got to tour more of the schools. I got to ride around in a police car and lots of good experience. I met people, though, that worked on the bus boycott. And I thought that was fascinating to get to be friends with them. They had a group called One Montgomery that formed out of a racial incident that happened in the 1970s. So, you know, I think that deepens my understanding to serve in Milwaukee. Don't you? I think that's going to be helpful.
Well, I would say it's helpful throughout the whole state, because I sort of view this racism issue as a white folks problem. I mean, we really have to learn how to treat human beings as human beings and walk together and get there. So, Luann, you learned poverty, you learned more about race, you already knew about water and sewer systems and school boards. Now you come back to Wisconsin and end up at Hale's Corners. And we're going to talk about Hale's Corners and where you want to take the 84th when you come back from the break, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson, This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here at WAUK 540 AM every Monday night at 7 o'clock, folks. We'll be right back.
UI.com.
Well, hello, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8. I'm honored to have Luann Bird with us tonight. She is sharing her life journey on her way to the road, from my point of view, to hopefully victory for the Wisconsin Assembly spot for the 84th district of this great state of Wisconsin. Luann has shared a background, and so you got back to Hales Corners in about 2012, right?
I did. When we move, it's always a little difficult to find housing. So we rented for a year, and then we landed in a house here that was built for a child in a wheelchair, and it works perfect for us. So yeah, 10 years ago, we moved here though, because my kids had moved back to, my daughter had gotten married while we were in Alabama, and she was ready to start a family. And my husband is quite inspiring to be around. He's very good with kids. Not only that, he does a lot of things. And we both wanted to be close to our kids. So we're in Hales Corners there in Wauwatosa, and Ryan's born, he's 10 now. And we, decided that, well, I guess I suggested I not go back to work, and that I stay home and take better care of my husband now. He's getting a little older and might need a little more help. And then he agreed. He thought, well, we'll give it a try, he says. Well, a couple months later, he's got this baby on his lap and he's wheeling around the house, and he says, we're keeping him, aren't we? So the best 10 years of my life were the last 10. We took care of Ryan and then his two little siblings. And we've had more darn fun with those kids. So yeah, I did that. We got back here. And when I first got back here, there was an opening on the school board, and I knew the superintendent from working at the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. So I went in to talk to him about a community engagement project that I had done in Alabama that helped link communities, people in the community, take them through a set of questions talking about, if this is the kind of community you want, what kind of schools do you need to get the kind of community you want? And what are you willing to do to get those schools? So it was a powerful project. And he had a goal on his board. One of his board strategic goals was community engagement. So I was going in to talk to him about that. He says, Lou, this is the deadline. No one's running for school board. And I said, Lou, I'm going shopping. That's not on my radar, you know? And he says, well, I said, I can't even get 200 signatures in that short of time. He goes, you don't need signatures. You just get a notary public. So by the end of the day, I was on the school board again. And again, though, it took a couple of years when I noticed that there were a lot of ADA violations. And to make a long story short, I ended up, because I was board president, eventually they asked me to chair, and I did. And then I could put it on the agenda that we needed to get another assessment done of all the schools. And there's four of them in here. And we found all kinds of little violations. Well, the first, and then we also had maintenance issues. Every school district, since they put those caps on the budget, runs to that point where they have to go out to the community to raise money to do some big maintenance projects. And that's where the board was at. And so we had failed the first referendum. We're now into the second referendum, and we had this assessment done. We took a survey out in the community that asked them, what did they think was important? What did they value? And ADA was at the top. It was right up there with STEM programs and a few other things. So the board at that, then my husband had a stroke in 2017. And this was, by the way, my second term. The second time I ran, no one ran either. So I was reelected. And then I was in the middle of that term when my husband had a stroke, and we were now planning for the second referendum. And it was really cool, because I had to step down from the board, but I got a call the night they decided what was going on the referendum. I got a call from one of the board members, and she said, Lou, I suggested we put all the ADA stuff on the referendum, and the board agreed. So they did, and they went out to the community and they passed that referendum, and all these schools at Whitnall are wheelchair accessible as well. So I got involved in education when I got back here. I was also asked, while I was on the school board, I thought this community engagement thing was still important. So I ended up bringing together Greendale School Board, Greenfield School Board, and Hales Corners. We brought together the mayor from Greenfield and the village administrator in Greendale. And we had, and then as much of Hales Corners leadership as we could. And we had meetings every month to figure out how we could coordinate and collaborate and improve our schools. So I did that for a while. And then when Phil had his stroke, I had to step down from all of that and take care of him. And then I got, you know, he was getting better, and I got a call from the library director that they needed someone to chair the Friends of the Library Board. So things were a little more stable in our household, and I agreed to do that. And again, I found out there were some ADA issues there. Sometimes you have to be patient. I'm not going to get into all those details because I'd rather get into talking about the campaign. But so I'm still working on ADA issues wherever I go. And then the other thing that's really cool, when we moved here, they needed a Fisher House to be built at the VA. My husband, you know, was in Vietnam, and I had actually stayed in a Fisher House. It's like a Ronald McDonald that they have for children's. I'd actually stayed in one when he was in a pain clinic in Tampa, and it was just fabulous. So we got involved in that as well. We form a team every year to run in the Brewer 5K sausage run and Birds for Fisher House. The family all comes down, and every year we do that. So I was very happy that we were a part of that, just a small part of getting the Fisher House built at the VA. So then you spin forward, and I'm just happy in retirement. All three boys are going to be in school full time next year. So Grandma and Grandpa daycare was going to be closing. And I get a call from the Democratic Party at the end of May that they needed a candidate to run in this district, and that the district was now, first of all, it's an open seat. They redrew the lines. They put me in with this district, Hales Corners, and it was a purple. And not only that, they needed to win the seat in order to protect the governor's veto power. And it also would play well to have a strong Democratic candidate to hopefully defeat Ron Johnson in the fall as well. So it didn't take me long. I mean, I was ready. My husband and I thought about it, and we said yes. We just said yes. I'm definitely ready for this kind of a challenge. And we're tired. Phil and I are tired, as are all of you, of the lack of civility and the whole political process and the way it's going. So I couldn't have got anything done that I have done in my lifetime without that. I had been civil. I had been patient. I'd also been very persistent. And sometimes, you know, a little bit like, you know, you've got to fix this. It's not right. And so that's how I've done it. And that's why I'm so excited to run, to knock on doors, talk to voters, and flip this seat, so that we can, the 84th people in the 84th can have civility, and then we can do more, get more done on the problems we all care about. So
let me just, this is your show, but you do have an opponent who actually ran recently for mayor in my city and was crushed here in Milwaukee, Mr. Bob Donovan, who was, it sounds like he's relatively new to the district and new to the area, because he's certainly a lifetime politician here in Milwaukee. So what is your message to your voters and listeners here? Well, what do you see? What do you see the key issues are?
Well, you sort of hit on it. First of all, he's not lived in this district. He does not know this district. He's from Milwaukee. He knows that area. He is running, it looks like, because he might want another job, you know, like you said, more of a career politician. And we've got real problems to solve. And here's what I say to my voters. Okay, crime, I hear a lot about that. We need to do something about crime. we need to do something about environment. I hear about that, and education. And there's a lot of issues that people care about. Restoring women's rights, especially, you know, right now the government is forcing a woman, even if she's raped or incest, to have a baby. It's government forced in Wisconsin. There's so many issues that I'm hearing about at the doors that I as well have concerns about. And voting rights, you know, the trying to suppress the vote and actually attacking the democratic processes because on a false narrative that an election was stolen. So those are all the issues. Now, I ask this, what has Bob Donovan done? If he served all that time on that city council and crime is actually going up and he's running on a law and order platform, I gotta ask, well, what exactly did he do to get that done? And you contrast that with my long history of being able to focus on the issues and bring people together to get things done. I think that's what the voters in this district have a choice about. They can either choose civility and action, or they can, you know, choose like a more traditional guy who's just going to be out there, you know, with the talking points.
So you told me a sort of an interesting story about things that seem to be sort of unique to your campaign, at least from what I've heard. There's the Penzi Spices story. What is that about?
Well, so I jumped into this campaign because I want more civility, and I was very happy with the direction with you know, the attacks on voting rights and things. And then we had that weekend when Roe v. Wade was overturned, and when, you know, environment, separation of church and state, there were like four Supreme Court decisions that came down that were so heartbreaking to me. And I was actually going to do dishes one night, which don't get done very often anymore. And I pull out my little apron, and it's got Penzi's little stickers and buttons. And he's got a very cool list that it's very progressive. And he's been, you know, he's got a voice out there, and he's got great spices. So anyway, I called him up. I sent him an email, took a picture of myself with my little apron on. And I said, oh, Bill, you know, I just don't like the direction things are going in. So I'm running. And if you would like to help me out on my campaign, give me a call. Well, 2 hours later, he calls me and he says, I'm so impressed with your story. He said, and we need more people to run. We do. So I'm going to put out an email to my list. And then I would like some follow up, you know, on the numbers. Okay, how we're doing. I said, okay. So then on Sunday, this was July 4th weekend, on Sunday, he puts out an email in the morning, and all of a sudden, ping, 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 there's all these donations coming in. And it kept going all day and from all over the country. And the average donation was just right around $20. And so by the end of the first day, we were over $5,000 already. And he plugs it again on the 4th, and then ping, ping, ping all day. I mean, those donations kept coming in all day. The cooks care. That's it, the cooks. And by the end of the second day, it was over $8,000. And he puts one more plug out the next day and says, I know we can reach 10. And we did. So 480 donors, $20 or less. The cooks came through. And that's the, and by the way, that jump started my campaign, because I got into it at the end of May. I had maybe 5 days to get all my signatures in. And then we, you know, had to get it organized. And so then I all of a sudden had $10,000 in the bank, you know, and in addition to other, you know, donations that came in right away from friends and family and things like that. So that was fabulous. I can't thank those cooks enough. And if you are if you're not on Penzi's list, get on it and make sure you buy his spices. It was great. It was just a wonderful start to the campaign.
So we're coming up on a break here in a minute, but I want you to tell our listeners, your voters, why Luann Bird and not Bob Donovan?
If you want to get something done, if you want more civility in the process, I'm the best choice that you have, not to mention the wide variety of experiences I have and overcoming challenges. And I care. Most people just want someone who they think really cares.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here with Luann Bird. We will be back on the other side of our last break tonight to hear about the plans to the finish line on November 8th. Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 or 92.7 FM. We are here with Luann Bird, and she has shared her life journey to this race that she's in. It's going to be finishing up on November 8th. For the very, very important new assembly seat. It's a new district, the 84th Wisconsin Assembly. So what are people saying to you? I'm assuming you're doing a lot of doors, right?
Yes. Yes, I am. I've got over 1,000, maybe more. Yeah, every day.
So what are you hearing from voters?
Well, they really want civility, that's for sure. That's very much in demand and very popular when I talk about that. They also like my story. You know, the fact that I have struggled like they have. Most people have had struggles in their life, you know, whether it's healthcare or loss or whatever. My story relates well to them. And the issues are pretty much, you know, kind of across the board. But they really are frustrated with the process. So the fact that I could come and tell them we can do it different. This is a different kind of campaign, and they're interested in that. They become interested in that. So then I, like one guy, I knock on the door, and if we're gonna be civil, okay. So what can I do? You have to ask yourself when you say yes to running. What could one person do out of 99? And, you know, in the minority, what could one person do? But then I realize every single day when I go out, I'm doing something. I am making it a civil. I'm making things civil by the way I run my campaign. And reaching out and talking to everybody is a way of being civil. For example, one night I got home from an event and my neighbor had put up a car sign, and I saw him and he saw me, and we kind of made faces at each other. And that night I had to process that a few minutes, and then I sent him a text and said, I still love you, Bob. You know, it was okay that you put, and I really kind of had to smooth the whole neighborhood over that. Like, politics can be divisive, or we can bring it together. And what I'm trying to do is bring it together. Like, and then he texted me back and said, it isn't you, it's the issues. You know, we just don't talk politics, and I'm putting money on it. It's probably guns that he's concerned about, but we'll talk. Anyway, that gives you an example of how to build civility. Now, when I go to the doors, you never know. I mean, you never know. I knocked on one door and I thought nobody was home, and I started to walk away. And this guy comes around the corner. He's got a Trump hat on, and I'm cornered. I mean, I can't get away. This guy's there. I got to talk to him. So I said, hey, I flip out my little flyer. I said, I don't suppose you'd vote for a Democrat, would you? And he laughs, and I'm laughing, and we start talking about, you know, I'm like, well, what do you like about Trump, you know? And he starts telling me, and then he's not happy with what happens in Washington, and he tells it like it is, and he's like, but he doesn't like that he tweets. And then he starts talking about, you know, a few more things, and I start telling him about my husband, and yeah, I'm not happy either. I'm running because I want more civility, and, you know, we've faced challenges and we've figured out how to solve them, and that's what I want. And then he's telling me about his backyard and problems he had with the village and the city, and, you know, then he starts telling me he's a recovering alcoholic and he's been sober 20 years, and I'm hearing his whole story, right? All of a sudden he says, you know what, Lou, he says, I can vote for you. And I said, well, thanks, Bill. That's great. And I start to walk away, and I realize no one's going to believe me. So I go back. I say, hey, Bill, can I take a picture with you for my Facebook page? Because nobody's going to believe this. And he puts his arms at his side and says, yeah, you flipped me. It was so cute. So, you know, that's the kind of thing I'm running into. And I have lots of stories like that I can tell.
So how are you approaching young folks?
Well, that's another good question. There's a young guy, a young musician that they had actually asked to run first. And but when he said no and I said yes, he jumped right on board to help me get elected. And he's a professional musician. His name is Chris Porterfield. And Field Report is the name of his band. So he's gotten involved in my campaign and helped some, you know, with some of the social media in the beginning and getting all that running. And then one day I was driving back from Madison and he heard my whole story, just like I'm telling it right now. And by the time I got back, he said there's more that he thought he could be doing. And he has organized what's called Bird Songs. So again, we're not doing the traditional fundraising campaign kinds of events. We did some coffees, you know, meet and greets and stuff, but this is what young people are doing. They're very excited about me and my campaign, and they want to see more civility. So I went and sat around the bonfire one night with all these musicians and just got to know them a little better. And now they've all organized Bird Songs. And we did the very first event at our house on Friday night here. And we had a crowd of about 40 people. It's just beautiful. If you go to my Facebook page, you can see a little video clip of it. There's more coming, but that's what we got put together so far. So instead of a stump speech, that's not what I'm about. I'm a very real person, and I'm going to tell it like it is as well. I said to Chris, I said, why don't you interview me instead? Let's just have a conversation. That's what I wanted. And that's what we did all night. We kept, you know, just bringing up stories and things. Well, then I also had in the back of my mind that if there was one person in the room that didn't know me, that was probably Republican, if I could get them up there, I would like to role play what it's like going at the doors, right? So sure enough, I found a guy like that, and he was willing to come up, and he gets up there, and I, you know, pretend knock, 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 is this so-and-so? And, you know, and I give him my spiel. I'm Luann Bird. I got a call to run. I was in retirement. My husband and I are not happy with the way things are going. And he, you know, and so we do this role play. And then we get done, and he says to the audience, he says, I got to go off script for a minute. He says, I am one of those dyed-in-the-wool, you know, conservative Republicans from Waukesha, but she's got what we need, and I'm supporting her. I thought it just was so cool. And that's how the whole night went. It was relationships. It was stories. I could tell some stories of the heartbreaking stories of the people I met at the doors and funny ones, like I just told you about Bill. And that's how the night went. Now that's the first concert of many. We just scheduled the second one, which will be at the home of Will Radler here in Greenfield. We'll get more information out about that. You're the first to know, September 8th at 6:00. So we are running a very non-traditional. It isn't about wine and cheese trays. It is about, like, let's have a beer and let's talk and let's figure it out. What is it that you want? And let's be civil and let's, I don't even like to say reach across the aisle. Let's just all work together. Let's get rid of the aisle and say, these are the issues. We're going to look at it through the lens of the American people, not through the lens of the party, and get things done for the people. So I got to say, don't forget, Bird is the word in November. Okay? Join our flock. You can sign up online. You can donate. You can knock on doors.
Attorney Mark Thompson.
Thank you, Mark.
Revere Show.
Thank you, listeners. Man. You're welcome.
Look forward to having you back to hear more about how this bird is flying.
Okay.
And more on the issues.
All right.
Thank you, folks. This is WAUK 540 AM. The Shaw, folks. The Shaw. See you all next week.